The following is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
And sing 414. 414, this world is not my home. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. I'd rather the world be out, somewhere in the blue. The angels that get me from that open door, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?
Bethel Baptist Church tonight. I will ask right now that you pray for Pastor, please, as he's out in British Columbia preaching today. Wishes he could be here right now, but he's was asked by Pastor Connor to go up there. So instead, we got Pastor McPherson preaching for us. We've been using you a lot lately. He gets hired now. He preaches just about, what, every week? All right, we'll have Brother Rob Chinowski pray for the offering tonight.
Father, thank you for gathering us together tonight, Lord, and thank you for your many blessings to us. We pray that you open our hearts and our ears to your word. We pray you bless us, offering Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
and sing 398, yesterday, today, forever.
Made of gold so pure and so bright. Song tonight is number 260, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We'll stand together. Number 260, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Somewhere past the clouds waits a new day to begin. Sometimes it takes a storm to calm the storm within. Sometimes it takes a storm to know when the anchor's in your life disappear without a trace. Sometimes the wind will rage before a storm to find a hiding place. They were drifting in the darkness, the sea was was all around. They cried out to the Master, "Please save us or we'll drown." Jesus heard the cries and mercy stilled the wind. Sometimes it takes a storm to see the sun again. Sometimes it takes a storm to know you need a shelter. When the anchor's in your life disappear without a trace. Sometimes the wind will rage before you sail calm waters. Sometimes it takes a storm to find your hiding. Sometimes the wind will rage before you sail calm waters. Lord, thank you for the storm, for I found my hiding place. Thank you for the storms, Lord, you are my hiding place.
Thank you, Judy. Why, that is a tremendous song that really helps to prepare for the lesson. Tonight, we have a beautiful monitor up here that Rob and Ray and the sound booth worked on. And Rob said, if you run out any jokes up there, I'll put one up on there for you. It's really nice. It has the time and everything, so you know you're not going to go over. Probably has a little red button when you start going over and flashing. But I appreciate the amens when Brad said that I'll be preaching more. I almost felt, encouraged. Probably had more amens then than I do when I'm preaching. Praise God. We talked about yesterday saturation, and Mike mentioned that I brought a big pile of donuts. And I was kind of worried that we weren't going to get them all eaten. I said to Calvin yesterday, I said, you think that we're going to, he said, no problem around here. We'll get them. They'll disappear fast. And I'm sure enough, when I came in, there was only two left, and they didn't last long. We'll have the same next week, Saturation Saturday. And, you know, it's a tremendous outreach to get out there and visit people and hand out some literature on the cantata that's coming up. People are really receptive. I found that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel, chapter number, First Chronicles, chapter 29. We'll be going into 2 Samuel after. 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, and verse 1. And we're going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 13. I spoke one time about King David, how he prepared before his death for the Solomon's temple to be built, and how that he did it in his trouble. Well, this is another passage that goes along with that, and also it fits in with Brother McDonald's this morning. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Well, then the Lord adds joy unto our life when we do that. And it sort of fits together with like a theme from Brother McDonald's message this morning. Verse 1, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to concentrate his service this day unto the Lord, than the chief of the fathers of the and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they, with whom precious stones were found, gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and that is in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is it is to make great and to give strength unto all. For therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. He is the one that's in charge of this whole universe, and he holds heaven and earth in his hands, and naked is hell before his sight. There is nothing that escapes the eye of Jesus. He sees all, and he knows all. He is the self-existent one. No one can make that claim but Jesus. He was from eternity and will be till eternity. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are God in heaven, that you see all, that you see us here tonight, Lord, in this auditorium, and that you're here with us, Lord, and your word of God is being proclaimed through the Holy Writ, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless me, use me, Lord. I can do nothing without you. I need your help tonight, Lord. Bless this message. May it bring glory and honor to your holy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A time to rejoice. Philippians 4:4 says, Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in answered prayer. Rejoice when God does something great for you. Recently, Janet and I was asked to come on staff into the ministry as assistant pastor here, along with associate pastor Brother McDonald. And I nearly fell through my chair when he asked me, and I'm still a little bit in shock. And there's been quite a transition period for me from the farm to working here at Bethel, but I've been excited and I've been thrilled to death to go out and witness and tell people about Jesus. The first time I've been able to go down and witness to the motorcycles people down in Port Dover on Friday the 13th. What a blessed thing that is to tell people about Jesus. I don't care who they are, they need to hear about Jesus. Everybody needs to hear about him. What a privilege God has entrusted in myself and my wife, and I covet your prayers, but we were looking for a place to stay, and we couldn't find a place, and it was getting time for us to move, and I was praying. I said, okay, Lord, that one place fell through. We thought we were going to get it, and we didn't get it. It was in Simcoe. It was a nice place, a nice apartment. It didn't work out, and we were at a deacon's meeting, and pastor said, I've got a place on the phone here in Waterford. Would you be interested in going to us? Yes, we'll go. The lady would answer the phone at 6:30 in the morning if you want to call. I called that early, and she says, you know what, six? I said, your ad's, she says, oh, that's right, 6:30 in the morning I called, and I said, could we come over at 10? Well, when we went over to view the house, the pastor was there waiting to help out. He said, do you mind if I come in with you? I said, not at all. What an encouragement, what an encouragement. And we just love the place. It's all been renovated. It's a townhouse. And God opened the door for us, no doubt about it. We have Christian landlords. It just worked out wonderfully for us, how God uses us. And it was an answer to prayer. And then we have other small answers, like the water heater wasn't working properly. We phoned up the company and they said, well, that's all the water you're going to get. They had one guy come out, he couldn't figure it out. And they had another guy come out and he said, the water lines are all backwards on here. And he got it going. So God answers prayer. On little things, on big things, on all things, God answers prayer. Amen. Thank you. What kind of pain have you suffered? Physical, financial, family? What thing seems to be dominant in your mind and soul? Nothing like David had. That's where I wanted to go. 2 Samuel chapter 12, if you turn back there, 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we're going to read about David and the trouble that he had. It's not to darken his name, but to give glory unto the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 12, and beginning in verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took of the poor man's lamb and dressed it and gave the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And we know that David didn't die. The Lord gave him a king's pardon, and I don't have any problem with that. The man of God that David was. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and became, because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. He took the wife of a righteous man's Hittite, the Hittite Uriah. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son, for thou didst this secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And you know that David had trouble in his house, Ammon and Tamar. Tamar, his son, Ammon, his son, took Tamar and laid with her. And then Ammon was killed by Absalom. And Absalom rose up against David to take the kingdom. Adonijah rose up against David to take the kingdom. And David had great trouble in his house, according to the scripture here. But yet, with all this taking place in his life, with all these problems that David had in his life, he could still, at the end of his life, rejoice in the Lord. First Chronicles, turn back there, First Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 9. And this is after all these things took place in David's life, after all the trouble that he had, and how he offered and was building a storehouse for the building of the temple. In verse 9, then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Praise God for the joy that he gives us, even though we go through difficulties and dire troubles. I think of my dear wife now. She's lost her mom in December, and now lost her dad last Thursday, and we lost our son a year ago. And I was up at the hospital. Her dad worked. 84 years old he was when he passed away, and he worked till the last week of his death. He never stopped working a hard physical job. And he looked at Janet, and I think he knew that he didn't have long to live. And he said, "Sweetie, never give up." And I thought, wow, what a testimony. A saved man telling his beautiful daughter, "Sweetie, never give up. Let's never give up what God has for us. God's got a plan for your life. I don't care what age you are. God's got a great plan for your life." Back in here, verse 1 of chapter 29, I want to get into the message. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, "Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen." Whom alone God has chosen. God chooses a man. God chose Solomon. God chose David. God chose our pastor that's here ministering to us. God chooses. And he, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24 says, "And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him." This is the son that was born to David after that he had committed this awful sin against Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba. This is the son that's born to him, Solomon. And God says, "I love him. I love Solomon." And he chose him to be king in Israel, whom alone God chooses. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 75, Psalm chapter 75, and verse 6 and 7. Psalm chapter 75, keep your place there. Verse 6 and 7, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." So when we say, well, how come that person's where they shouldn't be in that position? Well, God put them there. And God will take them down in his time. And God will raise up another one according to what he decides, not according to what we decide. And God chose David. And God chose Solomon, even though they had sin in their life. Solomon had sin in his life at the end of his life, but God chose him and blessed him and made him a king. And God chose David and made him a king, even though David had sin in his life. And he could still rejoice at the end of his life and praise God and have joy, exceeding joy, at the end of his life before he went on to be with the Lord. He could have moaned and groaned and said, "Oh, Lord, all these things that my sons have risen up against me. Solomon wanted the king, and Adonijah wanted the king, and Amnon wanted a daughter took her without being a husband." And he could have complained and grumbled, but no, he had joy, and he prepared for the Lord before his death for the building of the temple. We can do the same. We've got this Nets program coming up. We can get involved in that. Every one of us, like the pastor said, and he's going to preach on that this coming Sunday, this Nets program that's coming up. And we can all get involved in it. Don't let the devil rob you from the joy that's set before us. What a privilege to go out and tell people about Jesus. You know, it's an opportunity that he allows us to do that. I was reading the scripture. He allows us to go out and preach the gospel. It's a privilege to tell people about Jesus. And we all, lots of us, sit back, "Oh, I don't want to go out." And I'm no different. I'm comfortable. We get comfortable. We've got everything we want. Food and fellowship and food and fellowship. And there's nothing wrong with it. I love good food. And fellowship, I enjoy fellowship. But God, the greatest fellowship we're ever going to have is when we go out and tell people about Jesus. I was out with Tanner Judge yesterday. What a privilege to go out with Tanner and go from one house to the next. He's doing one side of the street and I'm doing the other side of the street. What an opportunity God has given us. What a blessing God has given us. God chooses. He alone chooses. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, "He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." Back to our text, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. He chooses, and he gives strength. He chooses, and he gives strength. Boy, I like that clock. It's nice and big there. I can see the numbers, so you know what time. You don't have to worry about what the time is. It's just wonderful. What a privilege we have to have men like these guys working here. What a privilege to have experienced men doing this kind of thing. God gives strength. Verse 2. "And I have prepared with all my might for the house of God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Now I have prepared with all my might." With all my might. God gives us strength. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. David loved the Lord with all his strength, with all his might. And because he loved the Lord with all his strength, all his might, he put it all his strength into serving the Lord. Not himself, just serving God. John 15:5 says, "Without me you can do nothing. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." He will give you the strength. He chooses. He gives the strength. And God's desire here, back in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, God's desire here in this passage is our affection. "Moreover," David says, "because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." He gave above what he was expected to give. And it was God's desire that he set his affection on the Lord, the state of having one's feelings affected. How has your life been affected by the Lord? Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, to see how a man's life was affected by the Lord. And the man is Peter. Luke. Chapter 22. And we'll begin reading in verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. This is when the Lord is being brought before Caiaphas. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." In about the space of an hour after, another confidentially affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." You know, some of the scripture says that he cursed. He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, just like the Lord said it was going to do. And not only that, in verse 61, and the Lord turned. He was being brought from one place to another, one judgment hall to another. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Have you ever had God look into your face, look into your eyes? I melt when I think about how the Lord looks at me through his word. I get afraid. I tremble. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Can you imagine the look of the Savior's face in Peter's eyes after Peter had denied him three times and said, "Lord, I'll die with you"? Are we not all guilty? Like Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. What's it take for us to be used of the Lord? Jeremiah 18, verse 6 says, "Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And we are in his hands. We are as clay in the potter's hand. I was at in Waterford. I wanted to buy a little gift for somebody where there's a lady that does pottery. And she molds it, and I've seen her do it, and just wonderful. Well, she does this pottery that she puts... She gets it all ready and she puts it out into the earth, and it's fire pitted in the earth. They leave it there for days, and it does something to the color. The color just comes out wonderful. And she's been in magazines for doing these things, and I bought one of these things. And as I was leaving, I looked up on the shelf, and I seen one that was more beautiful than the one that I had. And I said, "What's that up there? I wanted to buy that one instead of the one that I had." And she said, "You know, we call that the humble shelf." She says, "Those are the pottery that we mold and make, and we put it in the furnace or we put it in the fire pit, and a crack comes into it." And he said, we can't sell it. And it looks so beautiful. But it can't be used. It's stuff on the shelf. It's no good. And don't we in our life have that? I've had that in my life, put up on the shelf and not used by God, and it's not fun. But God can take that pot that's up on the shelf
and he can throw it on the ground and he can break it and he can put it back together again because it's God. And he can use us again. Praise God. He gives us a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth chance. God can use us. He can break us and make us and use us. I think it had to happen to me. I had to be broken. And I've never broken so much as when our son died, and God used that to break my heart, I think, so that he could use me in a better way. It wasn't. I don't think it was God's will that our son died, but I think that he used that to work in my life. And God will use us, and sometimes it takes that. God gives strength. He wants our affection. And he wants us to be broken. And David, I don't think David was ever used so much again as he was here to build, to prepare for the temple, and had great joy doing it. But David had to be broken also for the sin that he committed. Psalm chapter 51, if we turn there, Psalm chapter 51, and read what took place after his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm chapter 51, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 13. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know, this is a cry from David to God. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It was David's desire to be clean, to have his sin taken away. He could no longer stand it any longer. Oh, Lord, please forgive me for the sin that I committed. He hid it all that time. Nathan came to him, and he acknowledged his sin. And he said, Lord, oh, Lord, be merciful to me. And we heard about the mercy of God from our preacher last week. We need God's mercy. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David knew about the Spirit of God, and he said, oh Lord, please don't remove your Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, not his salvation, the joy of Jesus' salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David had a broken heart. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel, O house of Bethel. We are in the potter's hand. We are clay in the potter's hand. And Jesus is the potter. Back to our text. For God's will. God's will, and then God's joy, and we'll be finished. God's will. God's will is for those who are willing. Those who are willing to be in God's will, God will put you in his will if we're just simply willing and obedient and surrendered. Verse 5. I'm sorry, verse 9. No, I'm back. Verse 9. Verse 5. The gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to concentrate his service this day unto the Lord. Who is willing? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and of 100,000 talents of iron. And they, with whom precious stones were found, gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And what a privilege it is to work with willing people. What a privilege I've had to work on the staff here, to work with willing people. And what a privilege I've had to work with you people that are willing to serve in the bus ministry, that are willing to serve as ushers, that are willing to serve in the nursery, that are willing to serve at anything, at prayer. What a privilege it is to work together, all of us, to do it willingly. God died on the cross willingly. Not his will, but God's will. He suffered cruelty. My sins he suffered on the cross. If it was just my sins only, he would say, please, Lord, not Paul's sins, not his cup, but he died willingly for me that I might have eternal life. And with all the things that we've been learning in Revelation, all the torment that's going to take place on this earth and all the torments that's taking place right now and the people that are burning in hell right now below our feet, we have a God that loves us and picks us up and sits us in heavenly places and puts his arms around us and says, I love you. I love you, Paul. I love you, Gordy Spong. I love you, Mrs. Spong. I mean, he loves us. He cares for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So we give ourselves to the Lord willingly, and then we give ourselves to each other willingly. And we love each other and we care for each other and we pray for each other. You know, it's not too hard. We all have those address books. You take that address book and you can pray for people in the congregation through that address book. You don't have to make your own prayer list up if you lose it. You can use that. I've done that many times. Just pray for all the people in the church, and then other people that you think of, write down and put it in there. God's joy, and we'll be done. God's joy. Back in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and beginning in verse 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. David has now the Holy Spirit dwelling within him, and he's blessing God. He's full of the joy of the Lord. He has to speak of God and thank him for all that he's done for him. The greatest king that ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ was King David. Jesus is going to sit on his throne in the millennial period. That tells us quite a bit, doesn't it? Thine, in verse 11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. He wasn't honoring his soldiers or his mighty men that he had, those 33 mighty men and three other mighty men that the scripture talks about. He's honoring God and giving praise to him. He loved his people and honored them, but here his heart is so overwhelmed with joy that he can't but help but recognize who God is. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. People think that they have something. They have these beautiful condominiums in Toronto, these high rises that they're worth $3 million, $4 million just for an apartment. These luxury places. It all belongs to God. And he's allowed them to have this. That might be all that they get. I heard of a story of a man up years ago that he was up in one of those high expensive buildings, and he was putting a light bulb in by the window, and the chair slipped and he crashed through the window and fell down 40 flights and died. It was all gone. Everything that he had. In a second. In a moment. And he had to stand before a holy God. And if he wasn't saved, he'd be bound and cast into the hellfire. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. And what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? If he gets everything. If he, like we talk about, well, that there's nothing in the world. You know, there's pleasure. The Bible says, enjoy the sin of pleasure for a season. And there is pleasure in sin. And they can have all that they want, everything. Have the greatest families and all the material things that they could ever desire, and get up and enjoy themselves every day, faring sumptuously like the rich man, every day clothed in purple, and all the food that they could desire, and they didn't have to work. Everything was provided for them, and they lived for this for the 100 years. But then when they die, and they die without Jesus, they go to a Christless eternity. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's too late. You die and go to a Christless eternity without the Lord. You can't get back. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And we have the gospel to give to people, the good news that Jesus saves and that he'll save people and he'll give them a home in heaven. He loves them. He loves the lost. We talked about that this morning in the Sunday school class when the rich man came to the Lord and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Lord, keep all the commandments. And he says, I've done that from the time that I was a youth up till now. And the Lord looked at him and he loved him, the Bible says. He loved this lost man. This man that had all these riches. And the man went away sad because he had all those riches. He was discouraged. He was worried about his money. God said, it's better to tear your eye out and pluck it out and not have it, rather than go to Christless eternity. Whatever's stopping you from turning to the Lord says, if it's your arm that's stopping you from getting into heaven, tear it off. Rip it off. It's better to you to go to heaven with one arm missing than to go to hellfire with your whole body. And of course, we'll get a new body when we get to heaven. We'll get a spiritual one now. When we die, we get a spiritual body. I mean, they're just not up there floating around in air. They have bodies, Isaac and Jacob. When we die, we meet these people. They'll have another body when the rapture takes place and our bodies are lifted up, these ones that the worms eat, and it's just all bone. God's going to put it all together and give us a new body. Is anything too impossible? If God can do these kind of things, what about our little problems that we have? Can't God take care of our problems? Yes, he can, and I worry too. And I have besetting things that bother me sometimes. And I have to turn them over to God and say, God, please, please take care of this. I can't go on without you.
and ask that everyone stand with their heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have a word of invitation. Maybe you're here, heads bowed and eyes closed, and you know the Lord is Savior, and you love Him, and you want to do the best for Him, but you'd like to be in God's perfect will, and you'd like to have that joy that the Scripture talks about, that David had. You say, Brother McPherson, please pray for me, that God would use me, and I'd be in His perfect will, and that I'd have the joy of Jesus in my life. Would you hold your hand up so I can see it? I see that hand. I see those hands. Yes, is there others? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved, and say, Brother McPherson, I'm not saved. No one's looking, no one's peeking, no one's... You say, I need Jesus. I need to have my sins forgiven. The good news is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures, that we might have eternal life. And He paid the price. And the gospel is for you. You say, Brother McPherson, I'm not saved. I don't understand all this, but I'd like to be saved. Are you like that tonight? Would you hold your hand up and say, I need to be saved. I need Jesus in my heart. Anybody? Thank you. As the piano plays and Tony sings, the altar's open. If you'd like to come spend a few minutes in prayer seeking the Lord for your life, seeking God for His will for your life, it could be a turning point for you. I don't know. Would you come? If God's working in your heart, if God has worked in your heart through the service, would you come and pray? Or pray where you are.
Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing of earth His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Thank you. You may be seated. Brother McDonald's going to come with some announcements. Thank you.
Amen. That was good preaching, eh? I like that. We need to be reminded of that all the time. And remember our invitation. If you're a visitor here, I'm not sure who all's here, but if you're a visitor here, our invitation is always open. You can call on us. You can visit us. You can talk to us out in the hallway. And Brother McPherson would be more than happy to lead another soul to the Lord. He's led many already. Why not you? Got your bulletins there. Just a few things here to bring to your attention. We have a lot of things actually coming up this time a year. I mentioned it this morning. I mentioned it previously. We have our Easter cantata coming up, and please be a part of it. Make sure you attend it. Make sure you support it. And also we have those flyers, and they're out there in the hallway. Please grab one or two of them. Just share them around with some friends and family, some loved ones, some people you care about, and maybe some people you know that aren't even saved. This might be the one time a year they'll come out and they'll hear some great music testifying of the Lord and some great preaching, great invitation. So I encourage you to do that. Also, the revival meetings are coming up April 12th, 13th, and 14th, and we have some of these flyers out in the main welcome center, too. If you want to grab a few of these, and we'll make up some more if we have to, there's no problem there, and share them about, too. This is going to be a great time. Looking forward to it. We need to be revived. I mean, everything else is coming to life in spring. Isn't it good to get the snow and the ice gone and see buds coming up again? We need that with people. and springtime. We need a good spring revival. And then also the mother and daughter get-together they have here. They have a ladies' tea. It's called Sweet Mama. And you can't do that with guys. You can't do that. It's so sweet. You can't sweet daddy or anything like that. It doesn't work. Sweet Mama, ladies' tea, May 9th. Now, I got to ask you a question. This is going to sound very foolish, but ladies, is that here at Bethel Baptist Church? And the reason I ask you, because that doesn't say on here. Okay, I just want to make sure, just want to clarify. Here at Bethel Baptist Church, and Jennifer Holmes is going to be the speaker. So you want to be a part of that. There's a decoration contest. There's prizes to be won. So please sign up, and there's more information out in the Welcome Center about that as well. You don't want to miss that. The Bearing Precious Seed trip that's coming up soon, it's in our bulletin there. Inside there, and it talks about March 24th, 5 o'clock, they're leaving from the church here. This is open to the whole church. The young adults is putting it on, but it's opening up to the whole church. If you've never been a part of that, it's an amazing, amazing thing to get the Word of God out. And also Saturation Saturday, next Saturday, as Brother Paul McPherson was mentioning, it's a great time. You want to talk about food and fellowship? We do have it. I mean, as he brings the donuts in, and you have the food, you have the fellowship. A good challenge, a short challenge, but a good challenge from the Word of God, from Brother Paul. And then we all go out together. And I went out with my wife yesterday, and it was a great time. It's just a great opportunity to get out into the neighborhoods and welcome people and invite them out to our services. And it's just a great opportunity. So I want to put those into your hand, and I think that's about it. Yes, we also need nursery workers. As far as I know, we still need them. Nursery workers for Saturday night, the Saturday night of the cantata. If you can please help, please do so. Who would they see about that? Just sign up. Yes, Mrs. Judge, Mrs. Judy Judge. You see her because we need some volunteers for that. We're going to have a great service, and we're going to see. Let's just pray that people will get saved. Let's just pray great things from our great God. And I really appreciate Brother Paul preaching that, because so many times, I don't know about you, but I worry. People have problems that are just perceived in their heads, but a lot of us, let's face it, we all have real problems. We have real problems, real worries, and we can't do anything about them most of the time anyway. So why don't we just give them to the Lord and trust Him, have faith in Him. So I need to be reminded of that. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for being in the house of that You have welcomed us to, the house of the Lord. We thank You so much for the opportunity to hear the gospel preached. We hear so much around this world today of just all kinds of people getting into all kinds of messes with their lives. May they only realize that the help is right there in front of them. It's right there in the Word of God. Father, help us to be instrumental in getting out the gospel of peace to those around us, those in need. Father, use us, Lord. Help us to be clean vessels for You. We thank You so much. Be with our pastor as he preaches and he's out west, Lord. We pray for those who are in need. We pray for those who have lost loved ones this past week. We pray for those who are going through illnesses and pains and sicknesses right now. Lord, we just pray that You would heal them, that You would comfort them, Lord. And Father, if it must be through us, use us, Lord, in such a way. For we ask it in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. God bless you now as you go.